to Faces for Radio, episode 4. It is our Christmas special. I'm Danny Lenahan.
I'm Phil Close.
And I'm Tim McEwen.
And we're already having quite a lot of fun. We've been here for 20 minutes. None of it can be broadcast. it's beyond, what's the word, repulsive?
Oh, I think it's...
So anti-conversation.
Fancy free, I would say.
I'd say something was loose.
unfeasibly more puerile than the stuff we broadcast.
Yeah, and particularly more puerile than the stuff you didn't broadcast in my office last week after we left.
You bought the pizza.
I got crop dusted. For anybody's... This is what happened. I left the office for 2 minutes. I left. We finished podcasting. Phil was having a bit of a strop because he had black sideburns again. For the second time.
The second week in a row.
Do you know what I loved about that? The very end of last week's podcast. Yeah. Like, Tim and I are like, good night. And Tim's like, good night. And you're like, bye.
Yeah. These are amazing headphones, Phil.
Yeah.
They'll cover your ears full of shit.
But I'd worn those same headphones for the whole evening the week before.
I reckon.
Without a mark.
You must obviously have a much less hot head than me.
No, I think you've got the menopause kicking in. I think you're having hot ear flushes.
Hot flashes on the earlobes.
He was having a beard.
I don't actually have earlobes.
Yeah, so what happened last week after the show was that, firstly, the picture of the cause Virgil...
The drilling machine.
Drilling machine.
Yes.
Had been propped up against my computer so that when my...
The drilling machine that looked nothing like a penis.
The one that looked exactly like a penis.
No,
it was just an unfortunate rendering that
you
made
misunderstood
it
my diagram.
The interesting thing, Phil, is that you accidentally placed it upside down against my screen so that it looked like an erect cock.
That was an accident.
No, of course it wasn't. So when I came in the following morning, after my staff had come in and opened up and found a picture of a cock against my screen, there were some questions to answer. And not only that, I walked
were there
in,
questions along the lines of, Dan, why do you have a picture of a cock against your screen?
The first question I got was, why does it smell in here? Because
there might have been a few drive-bys.
I can't believe you waited until I went up to the bathroom and then ran into my office to drop some.
Well, we waited until you were about to lock up. Because just, then it would, you know, mature overnight.
And being in the chicken shed, we are hermetically sealed. So that was still fancy fresh the next day.
Nice.
Straight out of the packet.
It's when you come into the office and disturb stuff and just make it smell even more. It's great.
You two are just grim.
Crop dusted. Extra small
but,
size.
I've bought you both a little present. Just not your main Christmas present.
Well, I haven't brought yours because you're coming for Christmas Day at mine, so I've left them at mine.
Yeah, I've got your main Christmas present opening.
Hang on, we've got main presents?
I just feel really bad.
Yeah, you've got two presents each.
That's the only one you're getting?
That's the only one you're getting.
Okay, good. Because that's the awesome one.
Okay.
I want you to open that one first.
What, I'm just going to put my hat on while you open the presents. Okay,
Santa, put your hat on.
Why are you... Yeah, I do that.
It's not going to work over the top of the headphones.
But you're not going to hear what we're saying.
Or... Well, of course he's going to hear what we're saying. We're not in another room.
Not very well.
It's not like another dimension.
But he's got that hat on, look. It covers his ears.
It looks ridiculous.
You do look a bit stupid.
Yeah.
I think I look rather fetching, to be honest. There we go.
No, you look rather felching.
Well, either way, I'm a winner. It plays a tune as well, but the battery's dead, so I'm not going to do that.
I love the fact that you've tucked the bobble forwards.
Nice. So, right, Dan, I think you should open your present first.
Which one?
Okay.
The brown one.
Can I leave the car till later?
You can leave the card to us, but I normally open the card first because it's the thought that counts.
All right, I'm going to open the card first.
But it doesn't say anything silly.
Heaven forbid we should do it the wrong way around.
I wonder who it's from. To Danny, Gay and Kids. Merry Christmas. Love, Tim, Claire and Caitlin. Now, you've missed a trick there.
Why?
Because you could have put to Gay and the Kids.
Well,
that's
I would
what
have
you
done.
Normally would have done.
I would have done if I'd filled the card out, but unfortunately Claire did.
No, and you can tell it's your wife's writing because I can read it.
That beard is really muffling your voice.
It is
it's
really
not working, is it?
It is.
You can wear the hat, but just take the beard off.
That's what you sound like with a muff on your face.
Nice.
Okay.
So I'm pretty excited about this present for you. I've thought about it long and hard.
It's in. Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Is Gay and the Kids going to get use out of this?
Oh, they'll enjoy it.
Hang on, this is... I'm just trying not to hit the microphone.
Oh, I know what this is.
Yes, it's a Tesco value Christmas jumper.
That is epic. A Tesco value Christmas jumper. It actually has the Tesco value logo.
Right, you'll be wearing that later. We'll take a picture and put it on the website.
I'll tell you where I got it from later.
Did Tesco's actually sell that, or is it a joke from somewhere else?
No, it's a joke one.
I think you bought it. Blimey. And it cost you £8.40.
Including postage. leave the receipt in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you should put that on for our Christmas special.
It was less of a receipt and more of an invoice, Tim. Look at the size of it. I would put it on, but it's really warm in here.
Yeah, it is really, really toasty.
It is really warm in here. So,
since it's frigging cold outside.
But I will put it on for a picture later. That's very funny.
Right, let me open my card.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Kate.
I'll take the attention off you now, mate.
All right.
And your value, Tesco value.
I would have written you cards, but I didn't.
No, that's fine. It's the thought that counts.
I thought about not writing you cards. And
to
I
Phil,
was...
Cheryl, Joseph and Amelia. Looking forward to Friends Christmas. Goldfish bowl keys.
We'll be there for you.
Oh, Christmas friends. Christmas friends.
Bus friend.
Oh. Right. I've done Christmas at the closest.
Okay.
It was a messy affair.
Yeah. Phil and I will be very sensible.
That was because of Pie Face, though, right?
Oh, that was funny. Have you seen a new
Cheryl
one this
has
year?
Said she is not playing that this year.
There's a new one.
Why? She just doesn't want to play it because she thinks it's horrendous.
We're going to have to come over for a game of Cards Against Humanity, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Can we get the Harry Potter set?
Yes.
Or the Disney set, at least.
Disney Cards Against Humanity just sounds wrong.
Whereas the Harry Potter one sounds top. Top banana. Hmm. All right, opening my present. Hello. What is this?
Now, yours is sensible, Phil, so I hope you like it.
Oh, mate. That is quite cool.
That's very cool.
It's a drinks glass with a stormtrooper etched on the front of it, which is pretty cool.
Is that a proper whiskey glass? Like a crystal whiskey glass with a stormtrooper etched on it?
It might not be crystal.
Okay.
Is it like, he hasn't put the receipt in, so I know how much it is.
Is it Perspex?
I'm not going to get it out, because knowing me, I'll drop it and break it.
Oh, that's really cool.
That is very epic, actually. That's really cool.
I think the stormtrooper is actually in the glass.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like frosted inside the glass.
That's pretty
wicked.
So
when you actually put the liquid in, it looks pretty cool.
Mm.
And it's a proper stormtrooper.
It's an Imperial stormtrooper.
Yeah, proper one, not a new one.
There was the Force Awakens one, but I didn't think you'd appreciate it.
Not really, no.
No. Okay, shall I open this one now? So this one looks like, I don't want to spoil it, but it's either a lava lamp or a bottle.
Lava lamp. Who doesn't like a lava lamp?
Right, those cards in there are for your kids.
I tell you what, I was going to come up with brilliant... Oh, that's... Okay, cards
for that's kids. Yeah.
I should put that to one side. Thank you.
That's all right.
I did think about having a section of awesome things... that have no use.
Awesome crap present.
Yeah, lava lamps right at the top of that list.
Awesome crap present.
Fantastic technology that's completely useless
and pointless,
except to look pretty.
They do sort of light the room up.
Yeah, they do. I like them.
And they get really hot, so if you touch them, you burn yourself.
This feels like it's in a sort of wooden thing, so I'm guessing it's some sort of... Is this Dalmore?
No.
I can see...
No, I haven't got that much money.
It's a Glenfiddich.
It is.
Thank you very much.
It's,
I do like it.
Yeah.
I need like a single malt. Oh my god, that's very nice.
This show is sponsored by Glenfiddich.
I believe it's a 15-year-old.
It is a 15-year-old Glenfiddich single malt. Very nice. Thank you very much.
Now, enjoy.
I reckon, and I shall drink that on
Christmas
Day.
There'll be a couple of sips out of that, I'm sure.
And then I'll take the bottle back for the deposit. By the way, can I just point out, have you noticed we've emptied the bin since last week?
No.
Nice.
Half expecting some pizza slices in there.
Technically, the lid is still on.
Right, so this present from you, Dan, really worries me.
Why?
Well, because I know you quite well.
Mm.
So it worries me a little bit.
I think you might
find...
Is
it an inflatable Jesus?
I think it is an inflatable Jesus.
I nearly got you one of those.
I nearly got you learning to dance with Jesus.
The inflatable Jesus is very epic. Actually, I might still get you one for your birthday, because I owe you a birthday present. Hello. Oh, it's a matching decanter.
Well, actually, do you know what's really interesting?
Yeah.
Is that Tim and I did these both completely independently of each other.
Did you?
Without either of us knowing what the other had got.
I don't believe you.
Absolutely, not without a word of a lie, that is what happened.
And the annoying thing is I bought one of those for Tim as well, and somebody else has already bought it for him.
Ow.
Is it the same set? Same series?
Yeah.
It's uncanny. Yeah,
that is unbelievable, isn't it?
Shepperton Design Studios.
And is it the right type of stormtrooper I've got?
It's
an Imperial stormtrooper.
That is awesome.
That's cool, guys, isn't it?
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Hey?
Yeah.
And,
well played, sir.
Fuck you for getting one already. All right, so over the last few weeks, we've talked about a few films. We've done a bit of what we call epic telly-boxness and some bad, awesome movies. And I don't really know what to call this section, but it's a combination of epic telly-boxness and bad, awesome movies. So maybe it should be called epic, awesome movies-ness.
boxness.
Sounds good. So what we've done, we decided, because we're lacking structure, I think that was
it. Fine. In our lives generally, yes. Well,
you know, I kind of like the fact that we're a bit free form and a bit, you know, flowing and rambling. But there have been moments, I think it's fair to say, during previous recordings when we've got to the end of a segment and looked at each other like we wish we'd all died there.
Are you suggesting we're not quite as professional as this as we might be?
No, I'm not suggesting it. I'm stating it as absolute fact.
That hurts.
We are.
Yeah, the podcasts have been pretty good.
Well, that's because it's taken me 8 hours to edit every single one of them. Anyway, the point is this. I set some homework for everybody. And we are... Actually, do you know what? We're going to call this section Trending.
Trending, yes.
Ooh. Netflix Trending. But yeah.
I was going to suggest a different name.
What were you going to suggest?
Because we all watched this week where we talk about what we thought of it. And we'll probably argue a bit.
Ness.
Okay, so I picked a movie off of the Netflix trending charts. This is stuff that people are watching at the moment. None of us had seen it. It's called Devil.
Devil, yeah.
And interestingly, after I watched it, I had a quick chat with Tim. I need to talk to you about my chats with Tim before.
Don't digress. Let's talk about Devil.
But I probably need to tell you this before we get to talking about Devil, because
you are the Devil.
We shouldn't talk about this bit at all. Actually, we should just move on from that straight away.
Actually, see, I tried to catch Tim today by recording the call and he didn't fall for it at all. But, so this is what's happened. Last week we talked about the fact that Tim has a propensity to keep me on the phone for Christ knows how long after I've gone, I need to go.
48 minutes is my record.
It is your record, yeah. And then, so in the space of 2 days, Tim phones me. You were down in Kent, weren't you?
I was driving back from Kent.
No, I phoned you when you were in Kent with your friends, and you went, I can't really talk now, I'm with my friends in Kent. And I kept him on the phone for another 7.5 minutes, which nice. I thought was very, very good. And it was so obvious as well. Like, he was... this is... Tim's going, yeah, I'm down with my friends. And I'm like, well, who are they? And he was like, well, it's the landlady and landlord of the people that I used to live with when I worked for... What was the company?
I can't mention the company on air.
It begins with a V, and they do something with sugar down in Kent.
No, it's anyway. Rice.
Rice?
Yes.
Okay.
Microwave rice, available at reasonable prices from retailers near you.
Was it VJ's?
No.
Okay, was it something like that?
It's not far away.
Okay, right, so... Going to Google it in a minute.
Vagisil.
The point it was...
I've never worked for Vagisil. But I can imagine the product development lab's quite interested.
You lie.
Anyway, test facility's even better.
The point is, Tim, I got him monologuing on the relationship he had with his old landlady and landlord, which was very, very funny. Then he phones me up the next morning at stupid o'clock, by the way. Like, it was...
Quarter to nine.
It was about 20 past eight.
Quarter to nine.
On a Sunday morning... Or was it Saturday?
You've got kids, man. Of course you're up by 8:45 on a Sunday.
No, the kids weren't with me last weekend.
Well, in which case I don't care. I was awake. You should be awake.
Okay. So he calls me and phones me from Dartford. You were about Dartford, weren't you, when you first called?
Well, I'd just come through the Dartford Tunnel. Okay. So the tunnel itself doesn't facilitate telephone communications.
So you're at junction 31 of the M25 going anti-clockwise towards the A1.
It's a specific description of where I was, but accurate.
And about South Mimms, I get the impression Tim wants to end the phone call. Can't remember what it was he said, but I managed to not only keep him on the phone until he gets home. He then goes, hang on, Dan, I'm just going to take you off of speaker
right,
because it's connected to his car, and I'll transfer you back to the phone because I've just got home. And I went... game on. And then kept him on the phone for another 8 minutes beyond, and both times he went, oh my god, I'm monologuing, and hung up. Very funny.
I did. So how long was the second one then?
Well, the whole call was about an hour and 8 minutes long.
And I'd say about 20 minutes of it was legitimate. I've kept him on the phone longer.
Absolutely.
It was. And it was genuine moments of horror when I realised what you'd done. Because I completely was unprepared for it, that you might turn it round and do it against me. And I say very unfair on your part, Dan. And I think you should apologise to the nation.
And the thing is, I tried to catch you today, and that's when I phoned you up today, because I can record from my work phone. and it sends me the WAV file, so I could have played it, so we could all have had a listen to how bad it was when Tim got caught out. Unfortunately, at the point he went, I've got to go, I'm at work, and I went, what are you doing today? He went, not falling for that, and just hung up on me. Like I said, hasn't said goodbye in 5 years. That's when we were discussing, the whole point of the conversation, we were discussing whether or not we'd seen the film. Just a brief chat. We didn't share any thoughts on it or anything like that. So we chose the film Devil. I think it's safe to say there were no real stars in it that actors I recognised.
Yeah, that was what I picked out most about it, was that most of the actors in it, I've seen them in something else.
Yeah.
But they're not like A-list celebrities.
No.
But I thought that was quite good.
Yeah, I quite liked it.
And they were all really good on screen.
They were really good on screen.
The script, I think, was okay. I think there were areas where
there wasn't much script anyway, was there? Five people in a lift and they all die sequentially.
Well, no. Not all of them.
Well, obviously...
Spoiler alert.
Obviously not... No. Well, you know what? Look, we won't do the big reveal at the end.
No, what was nice was that it was an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong film that I've seen for a very long time that I didn't actually hate.
Yeah, because he's not...
A lot of his I've done, that he's done since, like, Signs, maybe?
Do you think...
Or Unbreakable. What a great film.
Do you think if
does
people,
that remind you of anyone that we know?
It does. It reminds me of someone. I can't think who. Mr. Glass is probably like my favourite character in that film.
Imagine living with the kind of curse that the being crippling, breakable like
yeah,
that
the crippling, you know, debilitating...
Listen, I can't help it.
The fact that your bones shatter at the slightest
I
movement.
I can't help it if I'm so muscular that during an obvious attempt to beat me at arm wrestling, juvenile, I managed to break 3 ribs on your dining room table.
And you lost.
A frequent description for people that break easily is muscular.
It's interesting that you state that I lost.
Yeah.
Because I broke 3 ribs.
Yeah.
It's difficult to win.
Man up.
Sure. Okay. I'll tell you how man up I did. I said it hurt a little bit and then I didn't go to the doctors for two whinge-filled weeks.
Because my chest really hurt.
I was in pain.
I've really done something to myself.
And then I get to the doctors and they send me for an x-ray and it turns out I've broken 3 ribs. I think that's manning up. 2 whole weeks.
Thus gaining the nickname Mr. Glass.
To be fair, you lived with me for 7 weeks, so you've been through way more pain than I ever have.
That was the longest 7 weeks of my life.
Mm-hmm. It's the most joyous of mine. Watching the family unit implode and all being my fault. Fantastic.
No. Yeah, well, we did implode while you were there, but once you went, we all joined back together again in love and happiness.
So, generally, the film?
Yeah, it was okay. Didn't mind it.
I thought it was good. I thought the script was a bit cliched in places. There's a Mexican guy in there who turns out to be the expert on the religious elements of it.
And the narrator, which I only worked out halfway through the film.
Well, that was the... he was the guy narrating.
He was the Mexican,
Well, here's the interesting thing. So I have some questions. I think there was unanswered questions in that film. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if either of you picked up on it.
Okay.
So first things first, who jumped out the window? Why did he jump out the window? Who was he and why do we care? How did he break the window? How did the van get round the corner?
It rolled. You saw it moving when the body hit it.
Yeah, but it went round a corner.
There were bounce marks on the barrier.
The police officer said that. He said these are meant to divert trucks.
I would like to see some scientific proof that if you roll a van towards bounce barriers, it bounces off and sends it down a different street at 90 degrees.
Yeah, because the wheels on a van are famous for not turning in directions to facilitate it moving sideways.
Yeah, they're worse than Sainsbury's trolleys.
But don't forget, the devil was at work as well, so he had a hand in it as well.
Okay, but it was still unexplained.
Well, yes, because it's not the point of the film.
The jumper was unexplained.
Well, the jumper was the main reason, because that was the thing, wasn't it? It always starts with a suicide, he said. That's how the devil gets out of hell.
I didn't pick that up.
Because at the very beginning, it's got like a monologue at the very beginning. And the Mexican guy says, it always starts with a suicide. That's how the devil gets out of hell.
Okay, so to clarify that then, so if somebody commits suicide, he can get out of hell.
Yeah.
Now, we're considered to be a sort of an all-seeing, omnipotent being. Not a good one, obviously. That can pretty much do anything and can kill people by looking at them and can do right.
Yeah.
What, and doesn't have his own key to hell?
Yeah.
Has to wait for somebody to kill themselves with rosary beads in their hand from a high floor in order to escape from... And like, who's keeping him in there?
Do you know what, Dan?
What?
It's his R. Kelly's heel.
Yeah, it is. And how does he get back in there then? What, does he just climb back in of his own volition and go, all right, you can imprison me again until some other time jumps on the building?
Apparently all you have to do is own up to the thing you did wrong. Well, he explained in the film.
I don't think
he sought forgiveness, didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
And that's why she kind of went, damn it.
Did you know it was going to be her?
No, no idea.
I did.
I didn't think it. I thought it was
a young girl. I thought it was a young lady.
I thought it was too obvious that it was going to be the old lady, actually.
I knew it wouldn't be that young guy.
I was confused when she died, I have to say.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's going
to
be her.
That was to throw you off the scent, wasn't it?
Well, it obviously did.
It did.
Because 20 minutes later, I was like, wait a second. There wasn't any sort of real jumpy, scary moments, was there?
So do we think the old lady that was possessed by the devil was the jumper?
No, because it was a bloke with rosary beads in his hand.
How do you know it was a bloke?
Because he left a note.
When did they say that?
Yeah, they read the note out. They read the note out.
But we should explain. Okay. We should explain that there's five people in a lift that stops working.
Yeah,
and
it's working.
I think they use that technical term at some point in the movie, and they suspect one of them is the devil. And
Jerry, the lift is working again, man.
And thanks for that.
That's all right. That's exactly what they said.
Felt a bit bad for Dwayne.
Yeah, he didn't deserve it, did he?
I watched him shimmying down that rope from the top and going, surely somebody would be supervising. And I watched that carabiner capitulate and plunge him to his death, and I thought, oh, it's probably made in Taiwan.
What was that carabiner made of? Tinfoil?
Exactly.
Plasticine.
It was ridiculous.
It just folded, didn't it?
Yeah, like 1 millisecond.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't. Maybe what happened was the space-time dimension sort of caught up and Dwayne passed a part that made him fat.
What?
Like he just passed it. It doesn't matter. In my head...
Which is a scary place, by the way. It's a very scary place. I don't think any of us want to be there, Dan.
No.
No, but it wasn't he. He was the character. You were sitting there going, well, he's going to die now. Because there's three or four moments where you go, he's going to die right now.
I thought the old guy was going to die. The one that does. He gets fried by the cable.
Well, you never find out if he dies or not.
Well, that's ridiculous, though. I mean, he walks down into the basement, and the floor's wet, and there's a massive metal cable with sparks flying out of it that he thinks has shorted out the entire building. Yeah. And he goes, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a wooden stick.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and hang it up on a nail.
Yeah.
A rusty nail while standing in a puddle. I mean, he might as well have gone to have a bath and make himself some toast while he's in there.
It's one of those 1970s public information films. It's like, don't polish a floor and then put a rug on it.
Do you remember that one we saw at school about playing near electricity? Do you remember that one?
The one with the pylons and the kites.
With the kid that tries to kick the thing on top of the... what was it? The transformer. Because he thought it was a football. He ends up exploding.
Great video. I think we saw that.
It taught me a lot about not climbing on transformers. Especially when they're in disguise.
Optimus Prime. I'm going to fry your nutsack. Sorry, that was my quite...
That never happened in Transformers.
My sinister impression of Optimus Prime, yeah.
He was the good guy. He doesn't do the bad things. That was Megatron.
He does if he's kicked in the nutsack.
The Transformers have...
Yeah, he has
a susceptible he has kicking nutsack.
Well, he has a nuts and bolts sack.
Aren't they? They're sentient beings, aren't they?
And a couple of washer bags.
And they said they're cognitive, living, sort of...
Is the proof of being sentient having testicles?
I think that's probably it.
That hurt if you get kicked in them?
Yes. If you get kicked in the sentience, absolutely.
But ladies don't have testicles and they're sentient.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure if you kick them in the vag, it hurts just as much.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I kicked my sister in there once.
And you never get your shoe back.
I don't tend to like films which are geographically constricted to one place. So Panic Room, for example, I couldn't stand the movie. I thought it was tedious.
Quite liked it. Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
I just thought that, that they're writing a script to try and keep the tension in it because the actual circumstance doesn't lend any tension to it itself. And it just meant they were all trying too hard all the way through it. And ultimately, it could have been done in 5 minutes.
Actually, one of the big issues with that film is
snakes on a plane.
Oh, God.
It's time to get these mofoing snakes off this mofoing plane.
That is a great line.
Best line in the whole... If you have the opportunity to plant a coffin full of snakes on a plane, wouldn't you just put a bomb on there?
That
it wouldn't be quite such an interesting title. It would
be
title.
Called Bomb on a Plane.
Not sure I can...
5 minutes into the film, it's over.
Not sure we can broadcast that.
Why?
Well...
People put bombs on planes all the time.
People might be listening to it on a plane.
Podcast on a plane.
Yeah, podcast on a plane. That would be drivel. They're just us three pissing everyone off for 8 hours.
Incidentally, this show is sponsored by Jetstream. I went to see The Last Jedi.
Oh.
This weekend.
What a great movie that is, eh, Tim?
Does Yoda die in it?
Yoda died in Return of the Jedi.
Does he die again?
No, but does his Force ghost die in this?
I didn't think Force ghosts could die.
Hang on.
What, Yoda, what if another Force ghost
Yoda
kills
Yoda 6, Die Harder. Him and John McClane would have made a great film together.
Yoda 6, Die Again.
Mm. Die Hard with... Vengeance Hard Dire With. That doesn't work.
Plaza Nakatomi this is.
Kaye, Kaye Yippie, motherfucker.
You know I'm quite into my skateboarding.
I've been told so.
That's why you have so many broken bones.
There is that. Mm.
And that's just because he's got low calcium.
That's right. I was going to get you some OsteoCare for your Christmas. I forgot. I'll get you that for next week.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate
that's
that.
Right, because next week will be Christmas Day.
There are some very attractive female skateboarders now. Letitia Buffoni. I don't even know if I've said her name.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I know her well, yeah.
Oh, Google.
Not a clue.
She wears two types of clothes. She wears skater clothes because she's an excellent skater, or thongs.
And that's to get paid, right?
I've never seen her skate.
Claire thought that was funny when I told her that we'd crop dusted your office.
It's a filthy drive.
Well, I don't understand the expression crop dusting now. I mean, crop dusting, isn't it like where you sort of dust crops?
Yeah, it's an urban speak, isn't it?
Yeah, you... Okay.
Is it Urban Dictionary?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up.
Crop dusting, here we go. Urban Dictionary crop dusting. Fart while walking. I crop dusted my way down the aisle at the grocery store. hang on. Second one. Crop dusting. Farting, then dragging the smell around with you. Or farting in the process of walking.
But haven't you seen the planes when they're crop dusting?
Wes decided to crop dust the entire back half of the apartment, so he walked from the laundry room through the living room into the bedroom, all the while farting and putting the smell with him.
I think you'll find that's what we did to you.
Number three, the act of starting at one end of a person-filled room, ripping a nasty fart, brackets, the thick ones are the better as they cling more, close brackets, then moving briskly to the other end of the room, staying ahead of your own stench, yet dusting the rest of the room with your flatulence. I quickly went out the door to avoid blame after crop dusting the room.
And it worked for us much better than we'd ever hoped.
Oh yeah, joint crop dusting.
Ah, crop dusting. Passing gas in a stealth manner, usually while walking through a crowd or a group, so that someone else gets blamed for the stench. Or at the very least, people besides the assailant must suffer it.
So basically, we achieved that aim by your staff going into your office the following morning and thinking you'd made that smell in your office.
These are getting worse and worse. The act of farting while walking past others, leaving them to gag in the wake of your shit-smelling foulness, can also be referred to as the airdrop. When crop dusting does not work, this is brilliant. One, on a treadmill. Two, with a strong tailwind.
Oh, yeah.
Three, with a turnaround. For example, you crop dust while walking with your girlfriend, then she turns around and walks back to look at the display in the front window. Into the oncoming stench.
Are you going to watch Doctor Who when it becomes a woman?
Yes.
Duff, no.
Well, that's a bit sexist film.
No, no. Do you know what is sexist? Is making Doctor Who a woman.
Why?
Why is that sexist?
Because it's just all this political correctness gone mad, isn't it?
I don't think it is.
Yeah, of course it is.
Of course it's not.
Right, so massive, massive articles come out about the inequality in the BBC, about the fact that there's no parts written for women in most of the TV shows on the BBC. And then, lo and behold, Doctor Who is made into a woman.
So you're saying it's like some sort of affirmative action?
Of course it is.
Okay. Is that a bit like when Barack Obama got into the White House?
Yes.
And Theresa May made it into the number 10?
Yes.
It's affirmative action, not a democratically affected vote.
No, I think them making Doctor Who, a character who for, what, over 40 years has been a man,
but you
predominantly
said,
a man.
But changing from one person to another when they regenerate.
Yeah, but he was born a man.
Well, you don't know that.
Yes, you do.
He's not a... Well...
No, you do, because in several stories on Gallifrey...
All right.
You actually see pictures of him as a young boy.
Okay, so...
Not a about, young transgender.
Well, when they announced that Idris Elba was going to be the next James Bond...
He's not, though.
Well, you, I think he'd be a good
he's
James
not,
Bond.
Because Daniel Craig's going to be the next
you
Bond.
Said
James Bond.
You said that he would be really good.
He would be.
Wasn't that affirmative action?
No, not really.
What? Seriously? When has James Bond ever been a black man?
Well, it never states in the book that he's black or white.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
but in the book it says he's got brown eyes.
Yeah.
Whereas Daniel Craig
has brown eyes.
Well, Daniel Craig doesn't. He's got blue eyes.
Yeah, he's got blue eyes
and a smack.
He looks slightly Aryan, doesn't he?
What?
He looks slightly Germanic.
Do you think?
Yeah, diplomatic immunity.
I'm not sure that blue eyes is Aryan. I would say it was more sort of Swedish.
No, blue eyes Aryan is Scandinavian. Aryan race is blonde hairs, blue eyes.
Okay.
Tall.
So like both my kids.
Are they?
Both of my children blonde hair and blue eyes, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas you've got brown hair, brown eyes.
That's true.
And are quite short.
Doesn't your milkman have blonde hair and blue eyes?
Who has a milkman in 2017?
My next door neighbours.
Really?
Who are in their 80s, yes.
That's so bizarre. A milkman.
Actually, if you'd come up with a concept for a milkman now, imagine a milkman had never been invented.
Right.
And we all just went to the shop when we wanted milk. And someone said they've come up with an entrepreneurial business that uses a zero emissions vehicle to deliver fresh products to your house every day. And all you need to do is write them an email or write them a note. Everyone would be going, whoa, that's an unbelievable idea.
It's true.
But a milkman's considered really old fashioned. But so many of our service businesses are going to this kind of doorstep personalised delivery.
My dad used to be a milkman.
Actually, that's obvious. the funny thing about...
I said my dad was a milkman, not the milkman.
Okay. So back in the 80s, when milkmen were prevalent, and we used to have milkmen, stuff like that, and of course the vehicles were electric. They were the first sort of... Or they're the only vehicles on the road that were completely electric.
Yeah, and went at 4 miles an hour.
And were noisier than most petrol cars.
Yeah.
Just that... Yeah, it was just brilliant, wasn't it?
If the milkman's going to deliver in a Rimac Prototype 1, then that would be interesting.
That would. You can shave my lady's legs.
1,200 horsepowers, here's your bottle of milk.
Yeah. It would be a milkshake by the time we got there.
So interestingly, a few years back, look, I've had a perpetual battle with my weight, as you know, and I keep going up and down and all that, and I really need to just get it sorted.
Up and up.
Yeah, it is making me ill. I need to stop that. I need a lifestyle change right now and sort things out. And I went through a period where I was buying a thing called Freshbox. I don't know if I ever showed you this.
Is that feminine wipes?
No. Not even going to bother explaining it anymore. So, obviously it snowed last weekend.
It did.
Quite badly. It's pretty heavy. And I drove the kids to school on Thursday morning. And as you pull into the village where they are, there's like a double S bend. You know the Oakley bridges?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
two back-to-back bridges, and it's always, you know, only one car can go over at a time in one direction.
Yeah.
Well, this bridge is exactly like the Oakley bridges, except it's an S. So you go over a bridge one direction, and you have to go over it another. A, it's very difficult to see what's coming because there's little walls on the sides, and I mean they really ought to put traffic lights there. It's a couple of miles from the school. But B, what had happened was all of the crud on the side of the road where the snow had melted had washed off of the banks of the road. Of the banks into the road.
Mm.
And so there was no ice, but the road was hell slippy.
Yeah.
And as I went to turn onto the bridges, my car just carried on going straight forward. And even the kids were laughing at me because I was trying to turn the steering wheel and nothing happened. So I just crept over it, took the kids to school. On the way back, as I got to the second arch on the second bridge, I put my foot on the brake. I thought, I'm just going to slow down and then coast down it. And I put my foot on the brake and nothing happened. And the car just slid down and went straight into a ditch. Front left hand wheel.
Yeah.
Then, and here's the real moment of idiocy. You'll like this. So my front left wheel is in this ditch. Fortunately, there was a car behind me. who saw it happen, he's pulled over. He said, do you want a hand? And I'm like, yeah, because I couldn't. There was no damage or anything. Didn't bang into it. Just the front left wheel's in the ditch. But the back right wheel is up in the air like this.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying to him, do me a favour. Can you push down on the back of my car so both wheels are touching so that when I reverse, I get more grip? Right? 10 minutes we were doing that before I realised I've got front wheel drive.
Right, so the first one is getting dick butterflies.
Oh, so when you're nervous about having sex with a girl for the first time.
Okay, what do you think
I
it
think
is?
I think he's hit the nail on the head.
It's like butterflies in your stomach, only in your dick.
I thank you. Dick, butterflies.
One to Dan.
It's like a winged caterpillar.
Right, what do you think ninja sex is?
Ninja sex is when you have sex and then throw down one of those smoke bombs and disappear before she gets your phone number.
I don't think so. I think it's like in Big Trouble in Little China where you wear a wicker hat and then you do a flying kick.
Okay, that's graphic. The actual meaning is stealth silent sex while your roommate is sleeping in the next room.
nice.
Right, so...
they're not all winners.
Having web glow.
Oh, that's post-masturbation porn-watching face.
When you've been illuminated by the device's screen that you're watching.
Yeah. It's simply when you look better online than you do in person.
So welcome to Faces for Radio, episode 4. I'm Daniel Lenahan.
I'm Phil Close.
And I'm Tim McKeown.
And I'm going to do it again because I went, I'm Danny Many Hats.
Daniel Lady Spam.
I'm going to do what we're talking about first, and then I'm going to introduce us.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Faces for Radio, episode 4. This week we are going to talk about how to take care of a hamster, an idiot's guide to safe breaking, and how to avoid international capture from a security service. I'm Danny Lenahan.
I'm Phil Close.
And I'm Tim McKeown.
And I still can't say my name properly.
Danny Lenahan.
Melanie Lady Spam.
It's my own name.
All
right, let's try once more. Welcome to Faces... I was about to start and you went... I might mention crop dusting.
Crop dusting.
Welcome to Faces for Radio, episode 4. This week we are going to talk about how to care for a hamster, an idiot's guide to breaking safes, and how to evade capture from international spy agencies. I'm Danny Lenahan.
I'm Phil Close.
And I'm Tim McKeown.
And I'm Donald Trump.
It never gets old.
It does never get old, does it?
It never gets old. It's such a good impression. It's such a good
impression. Maybe we can have him as a special guest.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
I'm sure Donald would love to come.
Let's interview Donald.
So you should phone him and go, hey, Donald, I'm the guy that you blocked.
Donald, what colour pants are you wearing today?
I'm having the best pants.
The best pants the world's ever seen.
The bigliest pants. They are purple in colour.
It's very good.
They have a picture of Ivanka in the front.
That's his daughter. Oh yeah, that's true. Okay, now we need to collect the show, close out. I might just play these two bits back to back. Okay, it's been a fun evening.
It's been a great evening.
Yeah, we've had fun. We've drunk some beer. We've had a laugh.
The podcast would be crap.
We had a mince pie.
We had mince pies, and I passed out. Semi-passed out on the floor.
I got two lovely presents, which I'm really pleased with.
Yeah, I got some epic presents. How many? I'm very happy with.
How many did you get, Tim?
I got the gift of your love, so I'm richer than all of us.
No, you didn't.
So he can't sit down.
Yeah. Sorry. Do you know, you do laugh. Like, who was it you laughed like last week? Basil Brush.
Boom, boom.
I sounded like Sid. What's his name then?
Sid James.
Sid James.
That's a good laugh to have, though. Sid was a quality gentleman.
Dirty.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been episode 4. Merry Christmas to everyone. I've been Danny Lenahan.
I've been Phil Close.
And I've been Tim McKeown.
And I've been Donald Trump.